Ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, the makers of Ifana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health, present It's Time to Smile with Penny Canter. Gentlemen, to increase the output of foodstuffs, our government is urging private citizens to take up farming. Having bought himself a farm in Connecticut, we now bring you that great agriculturist who supplies you with corn every Wednesday night, Eddie Cantor!
Thank you, Harry Bonzel, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Harry, I've fallen in love with my farm. I never knew what it was, the joys of nature. Think of it, Harry. Harry, think of it.
Yes?
2 weeks ago, I took a little seed. I planted it in the earth, covered it up, tucked it in, nursed it day and night. And this morning at 3 a.m.?
Yes?
I became the proud father of a 2-pound cabbage.
Oh.
Have a cigar.
Thank you, Eddie, and congratulations.
That's all right.
Now, what else have you accomplished on the farm?
Well, Harry, I've gone in for time-saving devices. For instance, I built the hen's nest 10 feet above the kitchen stove, and now I never have to wait for breakfast. You see, at 5 a.m., the alarm clock rings, the rooster crows, the hen wakes up and lays an egg right in the frying pan. Harry, it's beautiful. Look, the whole thing works like this.
Admit that is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, tell me this, does the hen ever miss the pan?
Does she? Where do you think I got this egg shampoo? You know, Harry, I feel sorry for that hen. She overworked herself something awful yesterday, and now, Harry, my hen is in the poultry hospital.
Oh, Eddie, in the poultry hospital? Why, what happened?
Well, there was a big fat rooster in the chicken coop, see?
Yes.
And my poor hen wanted to make an impression on him.
Oh, well, what did she do?
She flew 20 feet in the air and tried to lay enough eggs to spell out Pepsi-Cola.
No.
Yeah, she wrote Pepsi-Cola all right. But like a big show-off, she had to go back and try to dot the I's. The poor hen was so exhausted she collapsed and fell into a 6-foot ditch. I climbed down into it to pick her up and, oh, Harry, it was so embarrassing when I tried to crawl out.
Why, Eddie?
As soon as I stuck my head out of the ditch, a little kid pointed at me and yelled to his mother, "Look, Ma, it's Groundhog Day."
Well, now, listen here, Eddie. That farm work, I'm afraid, is too strenuous for you. You ought to give it up.
Give it up, but why?
Well, why? You just don't look healthy enough to be a farmer.
What makes you say that?
Well, I heard that every time you dig a hole in the ground, somebody tries to lower you into it.
Yep. Now, don't laugh, Harry. You'd be doing a wise thing if you bought a farm, believe me.
Oh, Eddie, how could I buy a farm? I've only got $500.
It's a deal. I'm selling you half interest of mine. Congratulations, partner. My buddy. You're a partner.
Wait a minute, Eddie. I think...
Pardon me, Harry. Is that the phone? Hello? Eddie Cantor speaking.
Mr. Cantor, I'm calling from your farm.
What's up?
The cows in the meadow, the sheep's in the corn.
Who is this?
Little Boy Blue.
Now, Eddie, look here a minute.
Don't get excited, Harry. I tell you, we're going to make a lot of money.
Oh.
Why, right now, I'm growing 12 acres of expensive Chinese rice. Think of that. In China, rice is their second favorite in the planting season.
Well, the second favorite? What do they like to plant more than rice?
Japs.
Oh.
Do me a favor and stop worrying, Harry. We're not only going to make money for ourselves, but also for the Army. You see, we've got a lot of high-class neighbors up in Connecticut, so I'm going to put on an opera in our barn and give the proceeds to the USO.
The USO?
Yeah. I'm going out right now and tell my agent to get the biggest opera stars available, and I'll pay them out of my own pocket.
Oh, say, that's very generous of you, Eddie. How much are you willing to pay?
Anything up to your $500.
Yeah, well, that's very generous of me. To save up that $500, I've had to work for that pop-eyed penny pincher since 1937. Oh, well, easy come, easy go. Anyway, it's for the Army. I wish we could get a big world-famous opera star like John Charles Thomas. And $500 isn't much to offer a guy like him. Maybe if I threw in 2 lumps of sugar. 2 lumps of sugar in the farm, in my piggy bank, and canter. No. No, I guess not. Maybe a big shot like John Charles Thomas would be impressed if I went up to him sort of dignified-like and said, "How do you do, sir? I'm Harry Von Zell."
"How do you do? I'm John Charles Thomas."
"Well, how do you..." "Huh?"
"Now, Mr. Von Zell, I heard about Cantor putting on a show for the USO, and I'm here to rehearse my song. If you'll be good enough to introduce me to your conductor..."
"Oh, yes, of course. Cookie Fairchild, come here. Cookie, this is John Charles Thomas."
"John Charles Thomas. Do you mind if I call you Sam?"
"I wouldn't mind it at all, Gertrude."
"Gee, thanks. You know, Sam, you don't look like an opera singer."
"Well, appearances are often deceiving. For instance, you don't look like a jerk."
"But I am."
Never mind this now, Cookie. You get up there on the stand. Mr. Thomas wants you to play his accompaniment for him. His music is right here."
"Oh, this is a great honor, Mr. Thomas. There's one thing I must know before we get into your number."
"What's this?"
When you reach a high note, do you want me to play loud and drown you out like I do for Mr. Cantor?"
No, you go ahead, Cookie. Ladies and gentlemen, John Charles Thomas singing Albert Haymalott's Song of the Rose.
Listen to the tramp, tramp, tramp of millions of feet. On every high road, by road, and city street. Like an endless cavalcade, they come and they go. Over the hills and into the vales below. The long, long road is calling me. Misfortune has set me free. I'm on the road to anywhere. Let me travel on with no more load and no more care. Just a vagabond. I let the blue sky above me cover my head. Why do I want a feather bed? I'm on the road to anywhere. Let me travel on. Hello, hobo.
Ah, boy.
Here am I, wandering to. Let me travel and sing my song of the road, the long, long road, my song.
Head who? What's he done? What is it?
Go on, grab him while I get his autograph.
Look, I just came in from making a few phone calls. I don't know who you're talking about. Who was it?
I don't know, skip it. Hey, you sign my book, will you?
Second Fiddle Cantor, that's me. Here you are.
Oh, you Eddie Cantor? I thought you were Uncle Don.
Yeah.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah, I don't know anybody around here except Harry Von Zell.
And how do you happen to know Harry Von Zell?
My father told me about him.
Yeah?
Pop says he's the only one in this program who talks sensible.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Harry, will you sign this autograph book?
Yes.
And leave our friends with a sensible thought for their memory books?
Yes, I'll be glad to, Eddie. There you are, son.
Gee, thanks.
And ladies and gentlemen, will you remember this very brief but very helpful thought? When you wake up in the morning feeling headachy and under the weather because you need a laxative, take Sal Hepatica right away, before breakfast. Because Sal Hepatica brings gentle, speedy relief, usually within an hour. Now that's important, for it means you don't have to put off till night taking the laxative you need in the morning, so you don't risk going through the whole day feeling miserable. Sparkling Sal Hepatica has another advantage, too. It also helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again. So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tomorrow. And whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see if you don't feel better faster when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. What, Eddie?
Harry, while I was out, I engaged a wonderful singer for my opera company, Enrico Garibaldi. He's marvelous.
Well, Eddie,
he's the most sensational...
Wait, this is John Charles Thomas.
Don't interrupt me. I'm trying to find an opera singer.
Wait a minute.
But you don't understand. This Garibaldi is terrific. He's dynamite. He's sensational.
Well, how much are you paying this... What's his name?
$12 a week, and he's also doing my laundry. Look at Harry. I want to tell you, this
Eddie,
man...
Listen, John what? Charles Thomas here wants to work for you. He's a real opera singer.
Is that so?
Yes.
Maybe we can make a deal, Mr. Thomas. But since I've never heard of you, I can only give you $10.
I have heard of you. I only expected five.
Now, Mr. Thomas, I hope you understand that I can only give you a small part, you see. For the big roles, I can get some famous people. See, I happen to know every important opera star in the business, you know.
Then perhaps you'd like to hire a chap like, say, Lawrence Tibbett.
Oh, Lawrence Tibbett.
Everybody knows, everybody on Broadway knows Lawrence Tibbett.
Well, of course, Lawrence Tibbett. Tibbett, oh, sure. He was in Hell's a Poppin', wasn't he?
His last appearance was with Lily Pons.
Who?
Lily Pons.
Who's he?
Listen, are you sure you know enough about opera to put on your own show?
He wants to know, too. I know. Well, of course I know. And what's more, I'll put on every opera. Every opera except the Barber of Seville.
Why? Is there a shortage of singers?
No, a shortage of razor blades.
Eddie, maybe we ought to call the whole thing off.
What? And lose your big chance? Don't be silly, kid. I'm trying to give you a break, boy, see? Appearing in my opera company might even get you a break in pictures.
Oh, I don't think I belong in pictures.
Oh, don't be silly, John. You could be to the movies what I am to radio.
I wouldn't take that from anybody.
I'm serious, John. What has Nelson Eddy got that you haven't got?
Curls.
You even made me laugh. Look, I can get you in pictures with just your voice. Just hit a high note. Hit one high note. Perhaps that'll impress those movie scouts out there. Very well. The phone. Hello? What? His name is John Charles Thomas. Stop work in the morning. I'll tell him. Goodbye. John. Stop singing. Stop singing. Guess what happened?
What happened? You mean they want me in pictures?
No, LaGuardia wants to use you as an air raid siren.
Well, that's not as silly as it sounds. Right now, I happen to be one of the air wardens at the Metropolitan Opera House.
You, an air raid warden? Opera singers would be lost in an air raid drill. Whenever there's an emergency, you spend a half an hour just singing about it.
What do you mean?
I'll show you. Just suppose there's an emergency blackout at the Metropolitan Opera House. The siren has just blown. The warden rushes up the stairs to warn the singers. Racing against time, he frantically knocks on the door.
Hark! Methinks there's someone knocking at the door.
Do Do not be alarmed, my dear. I fear 'tis something else you hear, for it could be the wind and shutters. It could be the shade that plucked. It could be the lightning's roar. It could be the creaking for the lapping waves upon the shore. Not the knocking at our door.
Maybe the shutters, the shade that flutters, the creak of the floor,
yes.
The lightning's roar, but still I feel...
What, my dear?
Someone is knocking.
Knocking at the door.
E-I-E-I-O.
Oh, someone's knocking at the door.
E-I-E-I-O.
Tell us, who is knocking at our Mimi door?
Door.
It's me, the air raid warden. Forgive my urgency, but this fellow-la is an emergency.
The warden's in a hurry, and his voice is fraught with worry. So perhaps we'd better scurry to the door.
To the door!
The warden's in a hurry, and his voice is fraught with worry. So perhaps we'd better scurry to the door. To the door, to the door, to the door.
Why, Mr. Jones, I thought your son was air raid warden on this floor.
Not anymore. While he was waiting for you to open the door, the kid was drafted.
We shouldn't have kept you so long, Mr. Warden. No, tell us what is wrong, Mr. Warden.
Oh, there's a blackout going on.
E-I-E-I-O.
Yes, there's a blackout going on.
E-I-E-I-O.
A light on here, light on there. Here a light, there a light, everywhere a light, light. There's a blackout going on.
Oh, ho, 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 ho.
So all lights must go off.
No, no, no.
Front and the back out.
No, 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 no.
This is a blackout.
Well, if we obey your command, if here in darkness we stand, will you, dear sir?
Yes?
Will you, dear sir?
Yes?
If here in darkness we stand, will you hold my hand?
John Charles Thomas, oh John Charles Thomas, will you hold your
hand?
I want more money.
Mr. Thomas, if you're really serious, I'll hold your hand. If Mr. Cantor will hold my handbag.
Why are you so careful of that bag, Dinah Shaw?
Because I have something very valuable in it, Mr. Cantor.
Jewelry?
No, an empty toothpaste tube.
Well, say, you're right at that, Dinah. From what I read in the papers this morning, empty tubes are more important to us and to the government right now than ever before.
Oh, Master.
What is it, Cookie?
I'm all mixed up on this tin tube business.
Well, Cookie, if you'll just pull yourself together, I'll elucidate.
Oh, don't go to all that trouble, Master. Just explain it to me.
All right. I'll try. You see, for some time on this program, we've been pointing out that there is a drastic tin shortage in this country, that America needs tin. And we've been asking everyone to help meet that shortage by saving all their empty toothpaste and shave cream tubes and taking them to the tin salvage station at the drugstores. Is that clear so far?
Yes.
Yeah, well, up to today, that saving of tin tubes was purely voluntary, but now it's required. Last night, the War Production Board issued this order. Beginning today, when anyone goes into a store to buy a tube of toothpaste or shaving cream, they must bring an empty tube in with them, or they can't get a new one.
The same kind of tube?
No, any kind of tube, so long as it's a metal one. So you see, the retail store is still the tin salvage depot, but this time it's required.
This isn't an April Fool, is it, Harry?
Oh, no, sirree, Cookie. This is straight from the government. And ladies and gentlemen, just as we've been urging you in the past to save those tubes, we're urging you now to cooperate. Oh, it may be a little bothersome at first to always remember to take tubes to the store when you want to buy toothpaste or shaving cream. That's only human. And if you do forget, don't get mad at your druggist because he won't sell you what you want. This is a government order. Just remember, the more tin your government gets from you, the more successful this war effort is going to be. So when you buy a new tube of toothpaste or shaving cream, don't forget to take a used metal tube along for exchange. Because you're helping your government to help you.
Lovely Dinosaur singing one of the year's top tunes, How About You?
I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin too. How about you? I like a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Franklin Roosevelt's looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it, I like it.
We like it too.
How about you?
Oh, say, Harry Von Zell, where is John Charles Thomas?
Here I am, Eddie. What's up?
I just got a wire from Enrico Tobias Garibaldi. He has offered to sing an entire opera on my program for $2.
$2? Say, Eddie, any opera singer who would work that cheap is an untalented, incompetent fool and a stupid, lame-brained idiot.
How do you do?
Russian?
Yes,
Russian, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
Russian, I want you.
Yes,
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I want you to say hello to John Charles Thomas.
Hello, John. Hello, Charles. Hello, Thomas. Pull up a couple of chairs and sit down.
Thank you. You know, Russian, you look familiar. Haven't I seen your face somewhere in a photo finish?
Oh, don't be insulting, John.
This man is obviously an imposter. Russian, you dare call yourself an opera singer? And you're getting paid $2 for this broadcast?
Jealous, huh?
Mr. Thomas means that you're working perhaps a little too cheap,
eh? Those are my prices.
Yeah.
Why, for only $1.50, I'll sing the entire score from that romantic opera, The Flight of the Boiled Potato.
What?
Why, Russian, there is no opera called The Flight of the Boiled Potato.
For a half a buck extra, I'll write it.
Oh, stop it, Russian.
Russian, one must work hard to succeed in opera. You've no idea of the difficulties I encountered. It took me 15 years to reach the Metropolitan Opera House.
Stuck in traffic, eh?
No! Oh, you don't realize the honor of belonging to the Metropolitan.
But I do, I do.
You do!
7 years I was on the payroll of the Moscow Met.
The Moscow Met.
I was getting a good salary every week until I made the greatest mistake of my singing career.
What did you do?
I sang.
Continue, Russian. What happened after your Moscow debut?
They honored me with a dinner. Ah, All the greatest musicians were there. Bach, Beethoven, Mozart.
Wait a minute. Bach, Beethoven, and Mozart are dead.
No wonder they didn't eat so much.
Oh, stop pretending, Russian. You never had any musical education?
Ha ha! Don't say that. To prove that my musical education is not in vain,
yes?
I will show you what I have accomplished in my 11 years of intensive study.
Yes.
Maestro, mine introduction, yes, please. Do, re, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
What is that?
Do, re, fa, sol.
Wait a minute, Russian. What happened to me? What happened to me?
What happened to you shouldn't happen to a dog.
Will you stop that?
Please, Russian, let me hear it complete. Give me the whole scale.
Very well. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, ti.
Wait, will you give me your dough?
What is this, a stick-up?
No! Russian, the trouble with your voice is that you don't practice enough. Tell me, did you ever sing in the bathtub?
Ha ha! Silly boy. Who's got a bathtub?
You have, Russian. It's that big tub you have in your apartment.
You leave my wife out of this.
No! Well, give up.
Oh, Russian, I'm convinced you know nothing about the opera. But I'm going to help you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to take you to see the Mikado.
The what?
The Mikado. Mikado. Look, Russian.
Yes?
What do they call the head man in Japan? Who is the man that all the Japanese fear?
General MacArthur.
Say, Eddie, about this opera you're putting on, how are you going to raise the money for the production costs?
Listen, I've got a farm and I can raise anything. I've grown a lot of vegetables and I've got a great way to sell them.
How?
I put a big sign over my farm and it says,
potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper, now the time to fall in love. Why, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker gave their price a downward shove. Grab yourself someone to fry your eggs and bacon. She can live just like a queen on what you're making. You'll find in sunshine and trouble, you're better off double. Now's the time to fall in love. I know potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper,
down on Eddie Cantor's farm.
Fresh greens give you vigor, spring beans make you bigger, carrots give your figure charm. After spinach, you're a miniature Gene Tunney. Every muscle sprout from Brussels sprouts and honey. Why, with my cauliflower, you'll out-oom tie power.
Down on Eddie Cantor's farm.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been awfully nice. I want to ask you to join us again next week, ladies and gentlemen, when we have as our special guest that very glamorous star of stage, screen, and radio, Miss... And believe me, you don't often hear her on the air, do you? Meantime, don't forget the two products that make these Wednesdays together possible. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. And so, remember,
I love to spend each Wednesday with you. Fast friend to friend, I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you that way.
From New York to California, women are acclaiming Touché, the wonderful new lotion that protects your hands even in soapy water. Touché is the latest product of Bristol-Myers, makers of Ipana and Sal Hepatica, and it's based on a brand new idea. Other hand lotions are applied after you have had your hands in water. Touché is smoothed on before you put your hands in water, and it actually protects them against roughness and dryness. Touche, spelled T-O-U-S-H-A-Y, is grand for soothing chapped hands, too, and for a fragrant all-over body rub. So begin today to use Touche.
This program came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.